This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It's a big week on the Almost Famous Podcast. Yes, Paradise is over, but we're bringing on our very first Paradise couple, Kenny and Mari. We're so pumped to talk to them. But Ashley, before we get started, I want to ask you, how is the setup of your coffee shop going? Because it's happening soon, right? The launch is just a few weeks away, a few days away.
Oh my God. No, we don't have an actual opening date yet. And Jared's been very stressed about this opening date because he's been getting like the number one question is when you open, when do you open? And I'm like, babe, it is best for us to be fully prepared and very equipped and calm and comfortable with where we at. We don't have to rush this. No. Just because you feel like you said fall, which it will be fall, does not mean that like we need to open our doors because of like some imaginary timetable you put on it. It has to be right because the worst thing we can do is open and be unprepared.
Is he a stress ball right now?
No. Yeah, he's stressed, but he's doing a great job. He's doing amazing. And it definitely feels like the past month of work that we put into it feels like a great leap. It's getting to look really nice in there. Everything's kind of falling into place. Oh, I just realized that he had a big meeting tonight. And I think he called me earlier probably to tell me about it. He went to the town council tonight to see if we got approved for our liquor license.
Oh boy, it's happening. See, this is a big deal. There's a lot going on.
There's lots of little things like that going on. You know, the plumbing, the electric, all the blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure this is boring to everybody. But Audrey's opening sometime this fall in South County Commons in South Kingston, Rhode Island.
So excited.
Coming soon. Selling generous coffee, which is absolutely delicious.
I appreciate that. Well, we do have a big podcast in front of us. We're going to break down the men, the suitors, they like to call them, coming on to Michelle's season of The Bachelorette. Again, we're talking to Kenny and Mari just after the break. So let's take a break. Let's come back with Kenny and Mari.
Okay, guys, it's the big time. We have Mari and Kenny on the line. Hey, guys, congratulations. I'm sure everybody's been asking you this week, how does it feel to be open and free?
Yeah, we've gotten that quite a lot. It feels good. It's nice to finally be able to just be normal people out there.
Now, what were you doing when you were in hiding to not get seen? Were you wearing wigs? Were you even going out to dinner?
To be honest, we didn't really go out much. She came to Chicago a bunch of times, but we kind of just stayed at my parents' house, my apartment. She has like her nerd glasses and like a hat kind of thing. that's if we did go out, but I think we only got spotted a few times.
No pictures though.
Yeah, no pictures.
What has been some of the biggest changes for you all, you know, since being public? Has the relationship felt any different? Did you feel well prepared for it?
Honestly, it did feel different. I know that we've been engaged this whole time, but it almost feels like we just got engaged when the finale happened, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think because now is when everyone knows and now is when everyone is telling us congratulations, like every 2 minutes. So now is when it's like, oh yeah, we're engaged. Like it feels real now.
So Chicago is kind of the base for two of these Bachelor in Paradise couples. Have you guys hung out with Joe and Serena in Chicago yet?
Actually, not in Chicago yet, all together. But we actually did early on after Paradise stay all together at a lake house in Michigan.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. How was that? Yeah. All three of you?
Four.
All three
Serena
of the couples?
Was there too.
Oh, so, okay. So the two couples.
It was just Joe and Serena with us. Yeah.
You know, sometimes when the Bachelor couples come off engaged, the show kind of finds them little like hiding spots to go hang out with. Did the show do that at all for you? Is that the Lake Michigan trip?
No, we actually did that one on our own, but we did have some planned meetups through the show as well. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Michigan was the owner of the club that I work for has a house out in Michigan, let us use it for a couple days. super secluded. Like nobody knew we were there or anything. So that was cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. Okay, Mari, you live in Maryland, right?
Yeah, I do right now.
Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm from Nova, Northern Virginia.
Oh, hey. I did not know that.
Yeah, I know. Nobody knows that because The Bachelor, they put Jersey because they wanted me to be the token Jersey right. girl, which makes a lot of sense. But anyway, so what's the moving situation? Are we going to do long distance for a while or are we going to be moving to one or the other places?
Yeah. So obviously we've been long distance and we're going to continue to do the back and forth kind of thing for now. I'm just waiting until my lease is up, which happens in March. So as soon as my lease is up, I'll be moving to Chicago.
Great.
One of the best cities in the world. I'm from Indiana. And so Chicago is has a special place in my heart. Now, obviously your story on Paradise compared to most, I would say, even the other couples, was fairly smooth. You had some moments, but, you know, every relationship does. Looking back on your time in Paradise, is there anything you wish you would have done differently, either of you? Are you happy with how the whole thing obviously worked out, but how the whole thing went?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all happened for a reason, obviously. And like you said, we're obviously very happy with how everything ended up turning out for us. I don't think I would have done anything differently. Looking back, there are things I wish wouldn't have happened. But at the end of the day, I think it led us to exactly where we were supposed to be.
Kenny?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't regret anything because the way it all panned out, like when me and Mari sort of got back together mid-season or so, it sort of made, I felt like it was stronger because of the stuff that had happened. And I think that's what sort of led the path for us to end up engaged at the end.
Mari, I feel bad having to ask this question, but I'm going to do it.
Oh, okay.
When did you find out about the rendezvous that Kenny had with Demi in the Boom Boom Room? Was that while watching the show back or there on campus?
Yeah. So, well, obviously that night was very heated and all that stuff. I didn't know the part about like the whole condoms in the pinata thing until watching it back. But that night, Demi, myself, and Serena were actually one of the last three girls to end up going to bed. And so Demi, me, and Serena ended up in the girls' changing room or whatever, said goodnight. Apparently after I left, Demi told Serena, "I'm up to no good tonight." And Serena came and told me. So that night I actually didn't sleep much. And I noticed that she never came to our room, came to bed. So I kind of had a feeling. And then the next morning, everyone was talking about it. And I knew that they had spent the night together. And yeah, I didn't know the details, but.
Honestly, probably better that you found out there.
Yeah, no, oh, absolutely. If I found out after watching it back.
I told everybody everybody kind of knew. I was trying to be pretty honest throughout the process. So everybody kind of knew what was going on, I think, pretty much every step of the way. And as far as me goes, not everybody.
I did admire that about you, Kenny. And we talked about it on the podcast a few times, you know, and I'm going to talk to you for a second because I want to give you some encouragement. Like okay. That sucks. You know, not any other couples really in the world have to see that happen and then watch it on national television. Like that sucks for you too. Does not, every couple's different. It doesn't mean that it changes your relationship now. And in fact, Ashley and I talk about it all the time. Like as soon as that show ends, I believe that's where it starts. Like you have a really weird dating past. So I'm sorry about that. It's not fun. And I feel for you. But Kenny, you were very honest, you know, through this whole thing, very upfront. I was putting myself in your shoes and I honestly feel like I'm not that good of a guy. Like I would have tried to hide things, skirt past things, let things get pushed off the side. You very much confronted them. I know that's probably just who you are, but why did you choose to do that on Paradise? Like, why was that your kind of your MO through the whole thing?
You know, I, cause in the back of my mind, I know that it's all going to be known anyways, and I figure if people are hearing everything from me directly instead of hearing through gossip or whatever, it's, you know, it sort of softens the blow. You know, going in, I didn't know exactly, obviously I didn't know how, what was going to happen, but in real life, I am pretty open and honest with people in general. So I just, it wasn't nothing new for me. But you know, also with Paradise, like, I feel like if anything is going to work out, you need to be honest throughout, because you don't have a whole lot of time and you can't be like building relationships on bullshit, you know, in my opinion. So it's just, why not just be like, this is what happened. To be honest with you, it was actually getting overwhelming and sort of like exhausting, just sort of always trying to tell everybody what was going on. Like, it would be it'd be like, I'm telling T on the date what's going on with Demi and what was going on. And then I got back from that date, and then it was, Mari had pulled me for a conversation. And then right after that, like, I had to go have a conversation with Demi and explain to her what just happened with the Mari conversation and the Tia date. It was kind of just like, it was kind of, you know how it is. Like, these are long days, and eventually you kind of just get like, it kind of drives you nuts a little bit. Yeah.
Well, you get disoriented. You're like, I don't remember who I dated this morning. Like, I'm just trying to take the next best step here, guys. Like, yeah. I'm trying my best. Well, it worked out, and I know we have more questions for you too as a couple, but I do want to say Ashley and I are both very excited for you. In fact, when you showed up to the beach together, you were like top of our power couples, just on like, hey, this felt like there was something instant, like just like that, like you had an attraction. So I'm really glad it ended up this way. Ashley is very glad it ended up this way, even though the road to get there wasn't smooth the whole time, but it's still going to be your story. So anyways, that's where I'll pause. I just want to make sure you guys knew that we're very much behind this.
Thank you.
Kenny, you just brought up, you know, Tia and Demi and Mari. How did it feel to be the oldest guy there on the beach, but honestly, probably like the most sought after?
I think it only happened because Brendan was mixed up in his own stuff. I think day one, Brendan was probably the most sought after. Obviously he's a good looking guy and whatnot. And I think somehow he got, you know, when he had his stuff going on, and then sort of like, I don't know, I started hanging out with multiple people. I kind of blame her because I tried to lock her up like on the first night, and she didn't want to lock it up that early. So it's actually her fault, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
And when I say you're like the oldest guy yet the most, sought after, it doesn't matter. You're 40, you know, like that's, yeah. You're still like young, yeah. Thriving, and you look 30. How many comments did you get like from people mind boggled about how like you look a decade younger than your age?
Well, I mean, because the show put 40-year-old as like my occupation, basically. So that was like every comment or DM, basically up until like it got to the serious point of the show with me and her for the most part.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Like, what's your secret? Like, are you in the Tom Brady diet or something?
You know, it's similar. I mean, I'm pretty good with my diet. It's
very strict.
Yeah, I'm pretty strict. Yeah, I mean, I would say I owe it all to my eating habits for sure.
Good
and
for you.
You know, I'm in the gym and whatnot, but you know.
Yeah. Well, you look good. You do. You both do. You're a beautiful couple. Absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
Talk about a guy that could have probably, and I think I like Brendan. I don't think I agree with much of what he's done in the last couple months of his life, but I do think when he's on the podcast, I was like, he's a nice guy. But he could have learned from you on being just straightforward and honest. That seems to work out really good for you without a lot of negativity. In fact, this show, The Paradise for both of you, I think really helped you both. I do have to ask you a couple personal questions that I'm wondering. Did you expect to, or how did you prepare to be so naked so often? Both of you. This is for both of you. This is not just for you, Kenny, because I know that was kind of your thing at the beginning. But Mari, you caught right back up to him and walked beside him in this. Was it hard for you at all? If not, why?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I thought it was funny at first when he was, you know, and that was his thing. But when I was asked to, you know, participate in this date and, you know, you're going to eat tacos off of each other, I don't care. I'm very comfortable with myself and I feel good about my body. I have nothing to hide. So yeah.
Yeah. She didn't care at all.
Kenny, were you wearing one of those Magic Mike sock things the first day?
So, the first day was Speedo, very, very slim, low profile Speedo. And, but the date with Tia, I was completely naked for sure.
Wow. Like nothing.
That's just, that's so free. I feel like that's just very, like, I think a lot of us secretly would just prefer that clothes never existed in this world.
What? Ben, speak for yourself.
No, I think I have my buddies, like, kids grow up. Like, there's a point in time where kids all of a sudden are told you need to put on clothes, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And like that's a demand on them. They don't want to. Like, that's not, we just want to be free. And I think the two of you represented that. Like, I'm glad to hear you had a Speedo on because I was not concerned about you being naked. I was more concerned about the reaction from everybody on the beach not being super weirded out by it. Like, they were hugging you and stuff. And yeah. I'm like, hey, if he wants to be naked, be naked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I ain't giving you a hug, buddy. Like, it's not something I'm wrapping you up in. Well, a couple relationship questions that we have for you. What's been every relationship's different, but what's been the hardest thing? Just like the most difficult thing that you've had to get used to now that you are engaged and spending a lot of time together, the most shocking thing now that you've left the beach?
You know, we actually haven't had any real obstacles or challenges or like we haven't had any fights, no disagreements, nothing since leaving Paradise, which is great. I think the most difficult thing for us is just the distance because we have to figure out, you know, okay, what dates work for you? When can I come see you? When can you come see me? What do you have going on with work? So just figuring out that logistical stuff right now has been the only real challenge that we've had.
I've read that you guys, with your 15-year age difference, that the only thing where it really feels prevalent is when you talk about music and movies and stuff like that. While as a boy band manager and somebody like, you know, who probably a lot of his work is based in the late 90s, early 2000s, Mari, you were like 3 when No Strings Attached came out.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Well, I actually know like a good bit of stuff just because my parents like grew up listening to them, listen to that stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm familiar with a good bit of it. There's some stuff where I'm like, no, I haven't seen that. And he's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, I know my way around.
She
I thought you were going to say your parents listened to it. I was like, okay, let's redo that for a second.
Yeah. I mean, your parents aren't much older than I am. So.
How old are your parents?
46 and 47.
Oh, they were young when they had you, though.
They were, yeah. They were like 20.
And I think that's maybe one of the most beautiful scenes all season. You know, age isn't something that really it plays a factor in most people's lives these days. You know, you're out of college and kind of on your own, life feels very similar. But when you two sat down, and Kenny, you admitted that, you know, relationships, this was very serious to you, that you weren't used to feeling this type of way, that this was something special to you. And Mari, you look back at him and said, you know, I'm ready for this. It was a moment where it kind of gave peace to you two and a lot of the viewers. Can you walk us through kind of that moment and how that defined your relationship?
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because we still get a lot of questions about it today. Like, oh, what's your age gap look like in your relationship? How does it affect you guys? And it really doesn't. I mean, and that's kind of what I was trying to get across when we had that conversation is that although, yeah, numerically, chronologically, I'm young, 25 years old, I feel like just the way that I go about my life and how I've had to kind of grow up and take care of myself from a really young age has put me on a different level than most people who are 25 years old. And so because of that, I felt like it would be easy for us to kind of connect and do life together.
Kenny, you said I love you for the first time to someone right there in Paradise to Mari. Mari, how big of a deal is that for you?
It's huge. I mean, for me, you know, okay. So honestly, at first I was like, okay, he's never like said I love you.
Was that like a red flag?
Not necessarily a red flag, but it did make me wonder like, okay, well, so how does he know, mm-hmm. you know? But then looking back on it, you know, it's in the way that we have our conversations and in the way that he's always reassuring me, that's how I knew that he knew. And in terms of that, for me, it's a big deal, because for him to not be used to the kinds of things that we are now like doing all the time, like just little things like I love you, or kissing me goodbye, or holding my hand. I know he's not used to that kind of stuff. So for him to like do all those things with me, it makes me feel good.
And Kenny, why do you think you've never gotten to that point yet?
It's really just the typical walls up kind of stuff. You know, I always blame it on, you know, being obviously just in the music scene and in the music venue scene, all this stuff. And it's just like, I've been doing that for literally the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just never allowed it to happen. I was cool being alone. I was very good being wrapped up in my like schedule and not having any interference like that. You know, I'm very schedule oriented for the most part. And I never really just had anything come across that, you know, I would allow to disrupt that, I guess.
It was like you needed just paradise.
That's what I said. I told Bradford, producer, I'm like, of you know, literally for me, it did take going on Paradise on national television to actually get to this point, honestly, because I'm not sure that it would ever have happened, to be honest.
Yeah, it's great for, you know, people like you, because it slows life down. Like it takes away a lot of the distraction of everything. This might be a tough question to answer, but do you remember a moment, Kenny, where your walls fell down and you looked at her and said, I not only love you, but I would like to marry you and spend my life with you? Like, to go from having your walls up and not allowing that to ever enter into your mind to then being in this position you are now, like there had to be a process or something that went through your mind.
Well, so, I mean, the good, like going into Paradise, I was already sort of mentally prepared to at least allow something to happen, you know, just at least welcome the opportunity, you know, and I went into Bachelorette the same way, but this one felt different just because, you know, I was hoping to meet someone specifically, Mari, you know, so I don't know, I came in open, way more open than I am in regular real life. So I was into her obviously a lot right off the bat. But I have some people have asked this question, and I've been sort of pinpointing to, like, there was a point when I got back from the Tia date and Mari had pulled me aside and sort of like told me how she really felt, and having someone reciprocate back to me the feelings that I had was sort of what kind of pushed me to the next level, I think, as far as being ready to go all the way with it.
I got a question from a fan on Twitter asking, if you guys have children one day, Mari, what trait of Kenny's do you want the child to have? And then Kenny, what trait of Mari's?
That's a great question. I actually haven't gotten that. I'm surprised, because that's probably like the number one question I get is like, kids, are you guys having kids? How many do you want? What are you going to name them? But anyway, you know, I think that I would like them to have just like, what's the word for this? Just how structured he is. Discipline maybe is the word. You know, he likes things a certain way. He does things a certain way. He's very neat. And I really appreciate that about him. I also like his sense of humor. And I don't know, he's just very sweet to me.
His genes too. I mean, if your kids can age the way you...
Hell yeah.
Yes, jeez.
Kenny?
Holy cow.
I think, so for, like with Mari, it's... she's very, obviously she's one of the nicest, sweetest people I've ever met. And I really like, she's very cool headed, and I'm, because I'll pop off like on, if stuff gets heated, I'm, you know, F this, saying shit. And she's always so calm like that. And which is, we haven't gotten into a fight yet. And that's why, because she doesn't provoke me. Even if I'm like, you know, being a dick or whatever, It's just, I've never been with somebody that it's like, it's the opposite of me. But if we had kids, I would love to see that in our kids, you know?
Aww, I was gonna ask the two of you what's your favorite things about each other, but I think you just answered it.
Yeah, and her ass. And
I get that. You would added that to the question that wasn't about kids. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's for your question. Yeah.
Can we take a second here before we say goodbye to you both to ask you a question, because you're our first couple from Paradise that we've had on, and. We're going to ask you to be our insiders for just a second here. In the previews, Ashley and I seem to be
Ben, he was on my task list.
Okay. We might be the only two people that got fired up about this, like physically emotional about this. And nothing ever happened. There's a preview team of Marissa kissing Damar on the beach. It happened on Bachelor in Paradise. There's a preview that gets shown where they're kissing. And we were like, there's no way this could have been happening. And then it never was shown. There was never a break in Riley and Marissa's relationship. They end up getting engaged. They're super happy, and we're super happy for them. But there is a preview. Did you ever see this happen? Did it exist? Do you not know about it either?
No.
No idea.
Yeah, what? I didn't.
Wait, are you sure it's Damar? I don't know what preview it's.
We've asked the listeners, and they've sent us the video. It's there. It's happening. And unless we're confused, unless like there's some weird editing going on or what, but like it's very obvious that it's happening. We were distraught.
Hold on.
It was like they. I know. Like, did they play like a Spielberg like edit? Is it this like a trick with the camera?
Seriously, no, this has to be some like Mandela effect, timelines are crossed, something. I don't know.
The only time it could have happened is basically when Damar showed up, I guess. Right.
That's what it kind of looked like.
Marissa to talk, but we're not close enough to see what was going on over there. But I didn't hear about it. I think I would have heard about it, but I mean,
well, now I need to go watch it.
I mean, if there's footage, if you got the receipts, it's there.
The investigation continues on this.
Yeah,
but you got to go back, and even for the listeners, you got to go back to the episode where they announced that Ed and Damar are coming. It's like the episode before they actually show up, okay. And it's the preview for the next episode is when this happens, and then that's that week. And we've ever since then we've been just absolutely fired up about it because we love Riley and Marissa as well. So. Go check it out. I don't know. Hey, you guys are beautiful.
Yeah.
And
right after this.
We're very excited for the two of you. This is something special. Yeah. And I'm excited that you've worked through all the Paradise drama and that you sit where you're at today. Thank you for coming on this podcast. It's greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Of course. For some couples, once you get over the hurdle of Paradise, everything is easy. And then sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes it's easier there than the real life. But I think with you guys, you know, you went through that and it should be smooth sailing.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. It has been so far.
Hey, thank you both.
All right. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, it's Becca
and Tanya,
host of the Scrubbing In podcast.
Have you ever gotten the chance to tell a character in a TV show that you hate their guts?
Well, Tanya did this last week, so don't miss our conversation with Kevin McKidd, a.k.a. Dr. Owen Hunt on Grey's Anatomy.
And this week we get to talk to Megan Trainor and her brother Ryan Trainor.
So listen now and listen wherever you get your podcast.
All right, guys, it's your favorite segment that happens every couple times a year. We're going to do our first impressions of Michelle Young's season 18 of The Bachelorette. These are the men. And, you know, this is the time that we are able to judge people solely based on appearance. Mm-hmm. And we are vain or we are superficial or whatnot.
Yeah, it's very fun.
But you can't hate us because we know you're at home clicking through these guys doing the exact same thing.
Well, just do it with us.
We just put it out there.
Yeah, just do it with us. Here we go. We got a lot of guys to go through. Let's get started. This is the speed round. Follow along as you can. We're going to start with Alec. He's 29. He's an engineer from North Charleston, South Carolina. Alec goes home night one.
Oh, frat boy.
Frat boy home night one. Brandon J. He is 26 years old. He's a traveling nurse recruiter from Portland, Oregon. He is a great listener.
Aw. He is maybe overeager.
Overeager. We're going to go down to Brandon K. He's 29. He's a brand manager from Austin, Texas. He is the Texas guy that just hides back in the scenes, ends up going home like week two. Never really hear a lot from him, and we kind of forget about him.
I was going to say most likely to bring out a guitar.
I love it. Brian, he's 31. He's an NFL player from Chicago, Illinois. He is every dude's best friend in the house because they just like to talk football.
Yeah.
No connection.
I see him not having... I was going to say no connection with Michelle.
No connection. We got Casey. He's 36. He's an advertising creative director from Miami Beach, Florida. This guy unbuttons his shirt one too many buttons.
This guy is the Aaron of this season. I feel like he wants to start something with everyone, always angry.
Chris G, he's 28 years old. He's a motivational speaker from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada. He isn't a motivational speaker either. Just like, who was the guy from the last season that said he was? Like,
exactly. Yeah. That was Carl. Yeah. Yeah, this guy is going to be the yapper that we all can't stand if he is a motivational speaker.
We got for real. Chris S, he's 28. He's a commodities broker from West Hollywood, California. Chris S., good-looking guy, kind of the guy that stands out. I could see him getting the first impression rose and then causing trouble a few weeks in.
He's going to be an automatic here-for-the-wrong-reasons guy because he's from West Hollywood.
We got a guy named Clayton. He's 28. He's a medical sales rep from Columbia,
he's the bachelor.
Missouri. Yeah, this guy looks like the next Bachelor. I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay, yeah. Most likely to be the next Bachelor.
Meaning he's not with Michelle.
Yes.
We got Daniel. He's 26 years old. He's a firefighter from Austin, Texas. This dude is there for the long haul. He's confident. He's easygoing. He's even keeled. I think this guy is top three in my book.
Really, I think he's friendly, very nice, great on paper, friend zone.
Mm. We got Edward, which is my middle name. He's 27 years old. He's a wellness coach from Los Angeles, California. I don't know what to say about Edward other than he's giving me spooky vibes.
Spooky? I think that he is like very slick. Like he tries to be... what's in 10 things I hate about you. He's Andrew, whatever his name is, character. Does that make sense? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, by spooky, what I meant was Edward's the type of guy who's like good looking. He's the good looking villain in every movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. Like not spooky as in like this guy looks creepy. Like he's good looking.
Sly.
Like he's the guy that would be casted Sly, yeah. to be... The good-looking villain. Anyways, we got Garrett. He's 33. He's a tech CEO from Salt Lake City, Utah. Garrett is just way too smart to be here. Can't function in public settings.
Too polished.
That's fair. Same thing.
Okay, I'm going to be positive about these next guys because I've just been making fun of them so far.
I think that's the point of this one. We have no clue about anybody here. We've never met them. We don't know anything about them. We're looking at their pictures that we know aren't good. You know, criticism kind of is the way we'll go. And then later on the season, we'll be like, hey, we like this guy. Then none of this is right. Anyways, we got Jack. He's a former Army officer from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Jack is warm and cozy. He wears a lot of sweaters. Just a lot of sweaters because he just wants to hang.
Jack's my favorite so far. He reminds me of like a Jack from This Is Us. There is something warm about him. And a former Army officer, like I'm feeling officer and a gentleman vibes. Mm. Let's do it.
We got Jamie. He's 32. He's a biotech CEO from San Diego, California. Jamie is joyful. I mean, I guess we are being nice to these guys now. It's not meaning to. But like this guy just brings joy to the house and laughter. He is just a light in a really hard place.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you on this. I think he reminds me of Trey from last season.
Yeah, like that guy. Like the guy that stands out because he's just joyful. Yeah. We got Joe. He's 28 years old. He's a real estate developer from Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know what? Joe Joe just is, I'm going to see him being a fire starter, actually. Like, I'm going to see him being the guy that disrupts the house because he is the here for the right reasons, dude.
Hmm. Why do I keep having to agree with you? He is the right reasons police.
Right reasons police. We got Jamari. He's 26, personal trainer from Fresno, California. Jamari is the dude that stands out. I forget the guy's Hunter from last season, like, because he's so competitive. He is a guy that sees this as a competition, and he's here to win Michelle's heart. So he goes far, but not all the way.
Yeah, he's a top 12-er.
There we go. Leroy, he's 27. He's a biomedical PhD student. Why are all these guys so smart this
okay,
year?
Okay. I like that. I like that. Yeah, okay.
From Dallas,
he's
Texas.
He's husband material.
Yeah, husband mm-hmm. material is what I'm going to say here. Is you look at this guy and you see his biomedical PhD student and you're like, mm-hmm. I want to marry him.
That goes really well with a teacher, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And they'll be very cute couple, and they'll have great smiles together.
Oh. We got LT. He's 38 years old. He's a yoga guru from Bellevue, Washington. LT just doesn't fit in. I'm not going to say he's...
No.
Yeah, he's just... he's very spiritual, and he's very, yes. like, everything can be good.
He goes to Burning Man.
He goes to Burning Man, and he has a lot of one-liners for how life can be better. those just don't work. Okay, moving down here, we got Martin. He's 29 years old. He's a personal trainer from Miami, Florida. Martin is the guy that surprises you. He's the guy that kind of shines at the midway through the season. He has a story to tell.
Oh, see, I feel like he might be a little angry too. I feel like he kind of wants to get up in people's faces when
he's wearing a
up.
Cross necklace. No way that's the case. Now, when you wear a cross necklace,
oh,
you're
okay,
very,
fine,
you're,
fine, fine,
you're
fine.
Very peaceful all the time. That's just a given. Got Malik. He's 36. He's an academic administrator from San Diego, California.
Academic administrator.
Yeah, so I'm going to say similar to some of the guys above, he's there for a long time, and he's consistent. I think he shines in paradise. But he's consistent on this season, and we like him a lot.
Ben, the way that you're able to make up these stories is really impressive. Yeah, thank you. I think every year I'm impressed by your creativity.
Thank you.
I have no further comment, but then we have Nate. Nate spells his name weird.
I was going to say, I was having a hard time knowing how to say that, but he's 27. He's a sales executive from Austin, Texas. And Nate is a wealth manager. I mean, in my opinion, like, he's a sales executive now, but I'm going to ask that dude for financial advice.
Okay. I think he's there to have a good time. I think he'll be very jovial.
Mm-hmm. We got Alamide. He's 27 years old. He's an IT analyst from Newark, New Jersey. We don't hear a lot from him. He's a quiet guy. He cares deeply, a big old heart on the guy, but he just... He doesn't know how to step up within this kind of environment. And as a result, we just don't ever find out a lot about him.
See, we're on the same page. I was going to say he's a night one elimination.
And here's another guy that's just impressively smart. And I don't understand how they got so many guys to step away from their jobs with these type of titles. But anyways, we got Pardeep. He's 30. He's a neuroscientist from Brooklyn, New York. Pardeep has the right answers for everything. You know, like, when you're struggling, Michelle's crying because some guy, you know, did her wrong. He's the guy that comes up, that sits there, and just seems to say the right thing in those moments, which gets him a long ways.
I think she's going to really appreciate how good of a conversationalist he is. Mm,
there you go. Kind of same thing. Peter is 26. He's a pizzapreneur from Port St. Joe, Florida. He's like a Brendan from this last season. You know, we never know why he's around. He's like in the background. I think his career has probably gotten pretty far in this competition, because who doesn't want to marry a pizzapreneur? But we just don't know why he's there.
See, I think he might be more like Kenny, you know, like, we had a boy band manager, now we have a pizzapreneur. We once had a pantsapreneur, and I just feel like this guy is going to go this. He's going to be really popular in Paradise because he's going to have a real quirky personality. I find him to be he's going to be like a stereotypical Italian. Mm-hmm.
All these guys look like they're just jacked still, by the way. I'm waiting for them to like not have dudes that just have like 30 packs. Anyways, PJ, he's 30. He's a firefighter from Houston, Texas. PJ sees this as a vacation and it works for him because he takes a seat back. He's the guy that seems to always be on the couch watching the drama go down, but he never seems to enter into it, yet he's a great commentator.
PJ looks like a 90s throwback, and I think he really leans in to that character.
I think in this picture he's wearing denim, so that would make sense. Rick, he
with the chains.
And a chain. I mean, come on. That's pretty smooth. Rick, he's 32. He's a medical sales rep from Los Angeles, California. Yeah, Rick's a night wanter. Rick came.
Oh,
he
really?
Saw. He went. He did not conquer.
Oh, I think he conquers.
Wow.
I think he's top four.
Oh, we should place a bet on this now. I don't see it. Rodney, okay. He's 29. He's a sales rep from Rancho Cucamonga. That's how you say that, right? I always get that wrong.
Yeah.
California. Yeah. Rodney is the second favorite dude in the house with all the guys. Rodney is the guy you go to at night when the cameras go down and you're laying in your bunks and you're like, Rodney, speak to me. Share with me. I need you. And the guys cry when he goes home.
He's the Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks of this crew. That everybody just goes, Goldberg.
Yeah, they love him. Rodney.
Go, Rodney.
We got Romeo, 32. He's a mathematician. Come on, throw that in with the neuroscientist and the PhD student. And we got a mathematician here as well. I mean,
okay. Top four. Top
yeah,
four.
He's 32. He's from New York. Top four. He's just like, he's husband. Like, he's put together. Like, he knows what he wants. He's here to get it. His life has moved fast for him and he needed to step away to date and find love and he's ready for it. Top four.
Yep. Confident smile. You know, like he presented himself to the camera confidently.
Good looking fella. Anyways, we got Ryan. He's 30. He's an environmental consultant from San Jose, California. Ryan, during this season, I believe has a falling out. He's like one of our favorites when we don't know a lot about him. And then all of a sudden, like he's the type of guy that comes here with a girl.
Exactly. Ryan is the kind of guy that shows up with the perfect hairline to me. And like you think that he's going to be a prominent character, but he's like the hot guy that just really sits in the background and doesn't become much of a character. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you here. Again, I know nothing about him, but that's what I get from his gray t-shirt. I would say
he also looks like George Michael.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude too. All these guys are. They're pretty dreamy. Anyways, we got Spencer. He's 25. He's a financial crimes analyst from Cleveland, Ohio. Spencer's the fan of the show. You can tell that because he's wearing a turtleneck in his picture, which means he's watched the fashion trends in the last few years. He comes on with all the knowledge.
Ben, you kill it. You're killing me here. Next and last is Will, and he's wearing a turtleneck too.
For different reasons. He's never watched this show before. He's 28. He's an academic interventionist. I don't know what that means. He intervenes in academics. I think that's a good thing. Don't really know, but anyways, he's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Will's just happy to be here. Like Will has no expectations. He's never watched this show, and he's just a smiley dude who shows up, who's like really kind and nice. And that ends up biting him because he's overly kind and nice. And we don't ever know anything about the guy.
See, I feel like he's getting inspiration from Brendan, but before Brendan was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Between the curls and like a little bit of a beard and then the turtleneck with the jacket.
Well, a lot of these guys never saw Paradise, right?
No, they did not.
Jokes on them for wearing turtlenecks. Uh-oh. Well, that's the men from Michelle's season. We hope that you walk through those with us. Ashley, as every year, you're going to give me your top three guesses for who ends up with Michelle. You go ahead and start. Let's do it in order, okay. Starting with the third, second, and then first place person.
Wait, third, second, and first. Okay, so I'm going to say that Bachelor Clayton is third.
Okay.
And then second, I feel like I'm going to go with Romeo.
Romeo.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, no, I switched that. I'm going to go with Rick for a second and then Romeo first.
Oh, that's good guesses. I like your guesses. Okay, third place.
Oh, crap. I forgot about Jack. I love Jack.
Yeah, Leroy's third, Jack second, and then Nate surprises us all at the end with the win. Nate shines bright during this whole thing. He's a consistent guy. Now, Ashley, to close up this segment, who gets first impression, Rose?
Clayton. I'm going to go with The Bachelor.
I'm going to go with Ryan. I think that's where Ryan's story begins and kind of where we, you know, the target's on his back. Ryan gets first impression, Rose.
Because he's an NFL player.
No, Ryan's the environmental consultant. Brian.
Oh, Ryan. I thought you said Brian.
No, Ryan. Ryan's another smart guy from San Jose, California. Well, anyways, really excited for the season. We don't know a lot about Michelle yet because of her late entry onto her season of The Bachelor. But people are behind the scenes are talking very highly of this season, very highly of Michelle. In fact, if you listen a few weeks ago, we had Tayshia on, saying that like Michelle was just consistent. Like she didn't need Tayshia and Caitlin as much. And I think that is a sign that Michelle holds her own. She puts these dudes in their place. And I think that makes for a great season.
I agree. All right. Well, after this, we're going to go into Bachelor headlines.
Bachelor headlines for this week. It's a big week in Bachelor World, starting with an SNL skit. Kim Kardashian West headlines the Bachelorette spoof, joined by Chris Rock, John Cena, Amy Schumer, and more, including our very own from the Bachelor franchise, Tyler Cameron.
I mean, this was a big deal for Tyler Cameron. If you guys haven't watched it, it is very funny. SNL loves doing the Bachelor skits now. There's a Bachelor skit every few months, and it was an honor and a pleasure to have Kim Kardashian stand in as a Bachelorette. Okay, it's pretty cool. She's like basically acknowledging our show, and I love it. But freaking Tyler was up there as a, you know, mock Bachelor contestant with, as Ben just said, like John Cena, Chase Crawford, Jesse Williams, Blake Griffin, Amy Schumer, and like Kim calls Tyler up and she like holds his hand and like gives him a token. And this is who is Tyler Cameron's publicist?
Yeah.
Okay. This was a huge move. And I'm just going to move into the next headline because Bachelor Nation had a lot of reactions to this. All Caitlin Bristow wrote was, "What?" Yeah. and then Jason said, Jason said, "You're single-handedly are increasing the stock of Bachelor Nation by the minute." And then Mike Johnson said, "We love to see it." It's just like, wow.
Yeah, I was watching SNL and all of a sudden this happens. And I didn't even notice Tyler was there until his name got called. Like I was just kind of like watching it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what? How in the world? Like, who is his publicist? Like, how in the world does this happen? Explain to me the pit thing, though. Is that a play on Squid Game? Like, I didn't understand that part.
Pit thing?
Well, at the end, when the guy got eliminated, he kind of walked into a room of fire. What does that mean?
Oh, maybe that is a squid thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably is, because I haven't watched it, and my friends just said that like there's a lot of people that die throughout the process.
Yeah, I just finished it. It's a very intense show. Anyways.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on here, Bachelor in Paradise's Noah and Abigail spend time in Oklahoma. The quote is, "I found my person." Now, Ashley, before you start here, I want to comment. You know, it was rumored that Kenny and Mari had broken up, that Noah and Abigail weren't together. Like a week left in Paradise, people in the public were kind of making these rumors. It doesn't feel like that's the case for anybody.
No, and it's really amazing that
the caption of this says, I found my person, because if you remember, he kept saying at the end of that episode where he breaks up with Abigail is, you're just not my person. You're just not my person. And then in front of a Ferris wheel at the Tulsa State Fair, he says, to be fair, you know, playing a little pun on where they were at, I found my person.
Mm, beautiful.
So like, what changed? How do you go from thinking somebody's not your person to somebody's your person?
We
got to
find out. I bet we will. We'll find out.
We must. We will.
Well, Kendall Long is embracing the villain label after Bachelor in Paradise drama.
Yeah. She says on social media, sure, I'll be your villain. It kind of has a nice ring to it. And she has a picture of herself eating a ring pop. I would have never thought of Kendall as a villain, but I'm sure there are people out there who are writing to her on social media saying that she was a villain because of her little appearance at the engagement.
Yeah. Well,
and yeah, was it the best move? No, probably not. But like, did it make her villainous? Never.
No, she didn't come there to break it up. She came there with good intentions. It just didn't like land, you know, it just didn't, sit. Well, Marissa Gunn is in tears of happiness after Riley Christian engagement. The quote is, I couldn't be happier.
Well, if you guys saw what they posted a lot of on Sunday on Instagram, they like had Maroon 5 Sunday morning. They also had another oldie about Sunday mornings playing in the background of them making French toast. Them kissing, you know, by the stove. And the caption also reads, I can't believe this is how I get to spend every Sunday morning for the rest of my life. At Riley Christian, you have changed my world completely and I couldn't be happier.
We're happy for him. That's absolutely great.
So cute.
So great. Well, Peter Weber spoke this week. He had a big reveal. He reveals he almost went on Bachelor in Paradise.
Really? Wow. He says, I was gonna go. I don't know for sure if I was going, but I was definitely considering it. Luckily, I got my class date for United Airlines, so it made the decision for me, and I was starting right as Paradise filming was going to start. That would have been a little weird for me. I don't know. It would have
been
crazy.
Absolutely wild. Yeah. How crazy. Yeah. Two past leads on one season.
Which would have made sense. It would have actually been nice to see a past Bachelor lead along with Becca. Mm-hmm. He also says, I think the only reason I would have considered it was just because it was the one avenue through that kind of world that I hadn't tried yet. And you see a lot of success stories from it. So I think that's what was in my mind, perking my interest or whatnot. Maybe it could work. Go this avenue. I also think that maybe, just maybe, and maybe I'm a drama starter, but like he would have liked Kelly to see him on there dating other people.
He could have. And also, I just feel like Paradise was kind of more Peter's fit, right? Like he's known to have a good time. He's out there in the world. You know, it's fast paced. I think it just fit him well, maybe even better than The Bachelor fit him. I think Paradise was a good fit for Peter, but he didn't do it. Maybe next year. Who knows? Hopefully he's with somebody.
Yeah.
And the world needs more pilots. So I'm glad he didn't take time off because right now we have a pilot shortage or at least, yeah. Yes. Anyways. Hey, that's all the headlines we have. What an incredible episode. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. But until then, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See you guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.